The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
How about them Strohs? And they did that thing last night where they waited for that melt until there was no football to distract me from it.
And the guy who said they were more talented than the Rangers is the one who blew the save.
They're not more talented than the Rangers.
No, I don't know where they got that.
Rangers are significantly better.
You could have made that case a few months ago before the Rangers made trades at the deadline and the Astros didn't, that they were pretty close. You can't need more.
Everybody pointing out to me that Knight beat Alabama already. A, he did that with a little more talent, and B, he did that when he didn't suck.
Oh, you fan got so mad at me for discounting that bowl win over Alabama, but it's the same reason that I bet on Oklahoma in that game, the same reason I bet on Utah when they played Alabama a few years before. And Nick Saban plays for national championships, and when his team doesn't make it, I'm going to bet against them every time because those kids are already looking to the NFL. They don't show up.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it is a Wednesday, so put odds on everything. It is a What Are the Odds Wednesday, and we're pretty full the last hour, so we didn't get to many phone calls, but we'll try to squeeze in a couple here in the next half hour or so, but better get in this segment of the next.
Yeah.
Because we got interview, and then you're going to have a little chat with Glenn Davis in the last segment.
Yeah.
So be interested.
Have we had an Olympic gold medalist on the show before?
Yeah, I'm sure we have at some point or another. Whether a basketball player or something.
Maybe I'm wrong. I interviewed one today. We'll play that at 6:30.
Oh, okay. Cool. I know we've had one. Pretty sure we've had boxer.
We've had Brendan Hansen on before.
Yeah.
Who is a buddy of mine from Austin. He's come on the show, I know, at least a couple times. So I was wrong.
Okay.
Damn.
We've had an Academy Award winner.
Have we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Costner?
No, Jeff Bridges.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We had him on. I think we've had, I think that's the big thing. Those two. We had a gold medalist, Academy Award. I'm trying to think of gold things.
Yeah.
That we've had covered. So, cool. So that'll be at 6:30.
Yeah. We know all the super famous people.
I'm kind of getting to where it really. It almost, and maybe this is just being old or whatever, but it almost takes somebody kind of off the path for me to be really fired up about interviewing.
I'm with you as well.
Yeah, somebody
sports,
different.
Sports stuff doesn't really get to
like
me.
The
anymore.
Regurgitator was a great idea.
Oh,
when you
it.
Had that guy on, I thought that was great.
Well, he's the most talented man in the world, so let's face it.
Would you like to, you want to get sportsy for just a second here? Because
just a second.
Hey, we don't have to. We can totally do anything else you want. I mean, it is What Are the Odds Wednesday.
What do you got?
Well, I'm not a big fan of these guys anymore. I admit, Pro Football Focus, I don't use them a lot. But they did rank their top 10 rookies, and I just thought it was kind of interesting because where would you guess from week one, the top 10 rookies, where would you guess Will Fuller would rank?
Pretty high. He had a great... He had a great week one. In fact, I don't know if there's anybody that I can think of who I'd rank ahead of him. Might be number one.
John, what would you guess?
Number two.
He's a Longhorn then. His Longhorns are number two.
The Longhorn should be number two.
He should be number two. But yeah, he's at number two. But here's your
who's
list.
Who's ahead of him?
I'll tell you, but we're going to go backwards. We're going to go from 10. Rashard Robinson, cornerback of the 49ers, who... In 23 coverage snaps, he allowed a grand total of 0 yards into his coverage. That might just be because the Rams were so awful. Jalen Richard, running back of the Raiders, came in ninth.
He had one, literally, I think he had one carry.
Three carries for 84 yards.
Okay. One of them was like 75 yards.
And, yeah, he had a 75-yarder, caught both passes for 11 yards. Number eight, Laremy Tunsil.
All right.
Earned the highest run blocking grade of any rookie offensive lineman. Number seven, DeForest Buckner of the 49ers. Had four hurries. Okay.
All right.
That's a little high for somebody who just had four hurries.
I mean, what's the standard here?
Well, they're rookies, so.
Right.
Ryan Kelly, center of the Colts, comes in sixth. He had one of their most impressive pass blocking performances in the Luck era.
All right.
Tajay Sharp, fifth.
He had a good day out there in Tennessee. Just watching him on film, he looks like maybe he's a good player. It's surprising to me, but he looks like maybe he's a good player.
Carl Nassib, defensive end of the Browns. I can't believe a Brown made the list, but he did have four pressures, a sack, and a hit. Three stops in the run game. Number three, Andy Janovich, the fullback for the Broncos.
He scored a touchdown.
Yeah. Number two is Will Fuller. So he had a pretty good game, so I can't fault that. So who would you think would be left at number one?
I don't know who I missed out on.
Well, how about the guy who went second overall in the draft and had the fourth best completion percentage among quarterbacks?
Oh, Carson, yeah.
Carson Wentz.
He did have a pretty good day.
Yeah, 68% of his yards through the air. About as good of a start as you could expect, is what they say. So there you go. That's your top 10.
Barry Laminack reminds me that we had world-famous comedian Barry Laminack on.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
He's like the white Carlos Mencia, though. I don't think he even writes those jokes himself. Him and Saturday Night Live, bunch of joke stealers.
You could still get tickets for your fight on his website, right?
No.
Oh, is it closed? Okay.
It is closed. You still get t-shirts.
Okay.
Until they run out. And they're on sale. They're sale priced now because I don't want to be left with a bunch of them in my garage, but I've got a few left in every size. So
BarryIsFunny.com is where you can get them.
They're in the shop there. But I stopped selling tickets. I don't want to be dealing with it tomorrow. And, it's one of those things where.
Can they buy them at the.
Yeah, there's some at the door, I'm sure. And you can go to CageTix, CageTix.com, and select the event and get tickets there. There's still a few tickets left, but I just wanted to be done dealing with them.
All right. Let's grab a quick phone call. Renee, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Sports, fella.
Sports to you.
Hey, what are the odds that the Texans will do good against the Kansas City Chiefs? Y'all have a good day.
We'll do good? I mean,
I think they're going to play a much – well, okay, it would be impossible for them to be as bad as they were in the playoff game.
I think so.
Impossible. I can state without fear of contradiction. I think they're going to play a better game. I think they'll control the football a little more. I think they'll turn it over less. But I think it's a field goal game either way. Until they beat the Chiefs, I'm going to be skeptical. But I'm encouraged by what I saw last week. And if they play like they did in the second half, I think they've got a very good chance to beat them. I would not bet money on it. But I feel pretty good about their chances compared to what I felt going into that playoff game last year.
Okay.
And that's a Fred Fowler guarantee.
That is not a guarantee. It's only a guarantee that it will not be 30-0 again. Okay?
And that's a Fred Fowler guarantee.
That is a Fred Fowler guarantee. It will not be 30-0.
Will they be down 7-0 11 seconds into the game? Will there be a 106-yard kickoff return to start the game?
That's a Fred Fowler guarantee.
Oh, if I'm them, I don't mess around. I kick the damn thing into the end zone and let them have it at the 25. Because
that's a good call.
That's an offense that you should be able to at least make work its way down the field. So,
God, what a nightmare game. 30-0.
That was one of the, and that was just such a, it was such a buzzkill from the very beginning because he runs the kickoff back, and the whole place just goes silent. And you could just sit, and Hoyer's out there trying to force things, and he was just so bad. And you're just looking at this going, you got to get this guy out of here. There's just no chance with him
No chance at all with him trying to throw the football. Dude,
no.
This cough isn't going to mess you up for the fight, is it?
I don't know. It's allergies. Like, it's the worst time for me to have them. But
okay, you don't have like pneumonia or anything. You're not going Hillary on me.
No, I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to pass out, fall out, and die.
Okay, because if
I do, I'll get a body double for the fight.
Okay. That's a good plan.
Yeah.
Let's try Jason. What's up, Jason?
Sports, guys.
Sports to you, man.
Hey, what are the odds if U of H makes it into the college football playoff and plays Alabama? They put up a better showing than Michigan State did last year. I'll hang up and listen.
Man, I know you guys really want to talk this playoff thing up, but it was so long to go. But they would not beat Alabama. They would not put up a good showing against Alabama. And I say that as a guy who, would love to see them in there and would love to see them do well.
You know what? If Alabama loses a couple games and didn't make the playoff and they played UH, I'd give UH a shot in that game.
Yeah.
If it's not in the playoffs.
But I think, we're so far away from even being able to look at that, guys. I know this is part of the job is to like, let's speculate out into things that are months away, but it's really impossible to do that with any kind of, and you're just guessing. I have no clue how they would do. And I'd love to sit here and lie to you and tell you, oh, well, this would happen and this would happen and this would happen. You know, Greg Ward may not be playing by the end of the season. As small as he is, he may get his head taken off. I don't know. All right, let's try something else. Jarrett. What's up, Jarrett?
Sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, guys, what are the odds Jimmy Garoppolo will go 4-0 until Brady comes back?
4-0, that's a lot to ask, but to be honest,
they got the tough one.
They got the tough one out of the way already. I mean,
unless the Cardinals aren't as good as we think they are, which I think they are. But
I think they're very good. I just think that it doesn't really matter. The Patriots are one of those teams that it's hard to bet against them, and I foolishly did it this week. And
a lot of people did.
Yeah.
Most of the public was on your side.
You know, the rest of their games are at home. I'd say it's probably 50-50 that they go 4-0. I think that it's – I mean, that may be a little bit extreme, but
– Yeah, I still think it's closer to 40%.
The Dolphins are a bad team. They're gonna beat the Dolphins. They'd beat the Dolphins if Garoppolo got hurt. The Texans are going to be tougher. The Bills will be somewhere in between. They're all winnable games, though, for the Dolphins. I mean, for the Patriots. So, I would say I think they will go 4-0. If I had to put a percentage on it, I'd say it's probably about 35-40%.
I'll tell you what, though, I do like the Dolphins to cover this week. They always play these guys close, and they'll have a chance to win the game late and choke because that's what they do, but I do like them to cover the spread. That's one of the few NFL games I've already looked at and said, whoa, that's out of line. So Tim wants to know, what are the odds AJ will be in a wheelchair next week?
What could possibly happen that I'd be in a wheelchair?
Here's what could happen.
Tear your ACL again?
I've torn my ACL twice since I've known you guys. Have you ever seen me in a wheelchair?
That's true. You've always been in crutches.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give it a 2% chance, because here's what I could see happening. You totally destroy this guy, jump up on the ropes to celebrate, slip on the ropes, fall and hurt your back, and go JJ.
A, there's no ropes.
On the cage, excuse me.
And B, I'm not jumping up on the cage. I'm a grown-ass man. I don't got time for that.
I know. The
that's how I'd get hurt, is jumping up on the cage.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Tear my ACL doing that.
And that's the euphoria, the whole thing, man.
No.
I could see that.
I don't think I'll be in a wheelchair. Unless I slip on a banana peel on my way out of the arena and land on my skull, I think I'll be fine.
I would make you like minus 600 to win this fight. Is that good value?
I hope so. I hope you're right. But you never know. It's a fight.
Just going based on what you've told me and what a couple friends of mine have told me who know both you guys.
There's a website called Tapology.
Yeah.
Where there's like a predictor, and people go and vote. It's like a fight nerd website.
That is pretty nerdy.
But I am predicted to win by 97% of the users. The other 3% all think he's going to win by knockout.
Okay.
So I guess there's a chance at that. But there's a lot of people saying that I'm going to win by decision, too, which I don't like that idea. But 48% say I'll win by KO or TKO. That's the favorite. Right. That's right. The leader in the clubhouse.
Can I go vote on that? Because that's what I think.
Okay. I mean, you could if you had one of the if you were registered or logged into this Tapology. I don't even have an account, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You'd have to be a real booger eater.
Well, just depends on the subject. If boogers come with it and it's something I enjoy, then I will eat away. All right, guys, you want to get away for the holidays? Leave the chaos behind. I'm telling you, I've got the perfect place for you to go. You could take your holiday photos on a warm, sunny beach, and this amazing getaway it's even more amazing is the price. It's the Pineapple Beach Club in Antigua. Right now, for just $99 per person per night, you can enjoy an adults-only, all-inclusive holiday getaway on a white sandy beach. Go to pineapplebeachclub.com or call 800-772-8711 to make your reservation today. And check this out, Blitzers. This is right up your alley. It's all-inclusive. That includes meals, snacks, beverages, yes, even the alcohol, resort activities, and all taxes and service charges. Five restaurants. They've got a spa. They're snorkeling, kayaking, sailing, and so much more. 30 minutes from the airport into the capital city of St. John's. 365 beaches, one for every day of the year. The largest English-speaking leeward island. If you're ready to leave the chaos behind this year and get some well-deserved R&R, don't wait. This offer expires soon. Go to pineapplebeachclub.com or call 800-772-8711 to book your all-inclusive holiday for less than $100 per night per person, and it's ages 16 and up. You can enjoy everything I just mentioned and more. That's pineapplebeachclub.com. You don't want to miss out on this offer. See the website for complete details.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hey, we're going to give something away here. About a commemorative jacket to celebrate the matchup of boxing's biggest star, Canelo Alvarez and Liam Beefy Smith this Saturday. Canelo challenges the undefeated Smith for the WBO Junior Middleweight World Championship live from AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys. Will it be a Canelo celebration on Mexican Independence Day weekend? Don't miss Canelo versus Smith this Saturday at 8 p.m. Central, live only on pay-per-view. Caller 20, all yours. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to jet out of here after this segment so I can make my flight to Dallas.
You're going to be in Dallas for Mexican Independence Day.
I am. I'm coming back Friday night.
Oh, okay.
So I will only be there.
You've always got stuff going on. You never stay for the fights.
I'm interested in it. I'll buy it. But I had signed up for a 10K months ago that I've already paid for, and I need to get out and run one just because I'm way behind my schedule right now. So
fair enough.
I will be flying back Friday night and doing that Saturday morning, and then drinking like a fiend the rest of the day, assuming I live through it. I'm having my doubts. I'm not feeling it right now. But, I am looking forward to getting out there because they've got some great guests lined up for us. And Jerry Jones is supposed to be tooling around there. It'd be kind of fun to interview him. And Golden Boy will be there. So we'll hopefully get you some really good interviews. Michael Pearson will be filling in for AJ. And the show will be normal time. And we'll also do regular stuff, too. We'll have some gambling. We'll talk with RJ on Friday, as we always do, and hopefully the show will be as good as it can be without AJ here.
There you go.
That's the plan. All right. Let's break off one of the odds calls here real quick. Ryan, you're on The Blitz. Go.
Hey, I had a question. What are the odds that Will Fuller has a better season than DeAndre Hopkins?
I'd go about 5%. 10% on the case that Hopkins gets hurt. Yeah. If they both stay healthy, I'd say about 5%.
Well, what'll happen is teams will adjust. They'll start shading a safety over to Fuller, which means Hopkins will. They may decide that they'd rather give up 10 yards to Hopkins and 40 yards to Fuller.
Yeah.
And then you'll start throwing the ball to Hopkins. Hey, one play that I have already punched a ticket on, Saints-Giants over 52.5. I'm going to continue to ride that Saints over bandwagon until they show me they can play defense. And what was this game last year? They put up over 100 points. So I've already hit a ticket on that. That's definitely a play this week. All right. Let's see. Let's try Jesse.
Guys.
Hey now. Sports.
What are the odds Jeff Fisher leaves California before the Oakland Raiders do? Thank you. I'll hang up and listen.
Oof. That's a tough call. I expect both will be gone pretty quick.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That's really good. I'll go, I want to say 60%. 60% Fisher goes first.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right. I wanted to clear off some lines so our people could actually win the...
There you go. Yeah. Well, you've done it.
I don't know how much of these... I think we've probably hit the phone lines enough today. Unless you want to do another one.
We can do one more.
All right. We'll pick somebody.
Who's been waiting the longest? Nick. What's up, Nick?
Hey, sports, y'all.
Sports to you, man.
All right. You may hate this, but this is another U of H question, but... I'm pretty sure that as far as strength of schedule goes, Oklahoma may have a tougher schedule than UH does. So what are the odds that even if UH goes undefeated, if with that only one loss, Oklahoma wins the Big 12, they still get in to the college football playoff over University of Houston.
You know, that's a good possibility, and I know a UH fan doesn't want to hear that.
No, and but I feel like we get this question four times a week, and we always answer it the same way. It's like Oklahoma would probably get in.
Yeah, because they'd have a win over Ohio State, and they'd have swept the Big 12. And their one loss would have been the first game of the season, which if you're going to lose, we say this all the time, lose really early, and people forget about it. But the reality is, I don't think Oklahoma might have three or four. I'd say it's more likely they've got three or four losses than one.
But if they, they lost early last year to Texas and then they got it together.
Yep.
But this is a tougher schedule. And I feel like we could just record this answer. And next time somebody calls with that question, we just play it because that's pretty much, that's the reality is that, that it's very likely that could happen. If OU has one loss, but it's just, again, it's so hard to sit here and speculate because I don't know if UH is going to go undefeated. That's the first thing. If they don't do that, they got no chance.
Yeah, there's no discussion.
And if they do, then, there's some things kind of lining up for them. The Big 12 looks like it might not have a one-loss champion. And if that's one of the things
Texas
that has to happen.
Should be number two.
Texas
Longhorn
should be number two. But those are the kind of things that are going to have to happen. And that's why it's just ridiculous to try to speculate right now until you get a little farther along in the season. And I know people want to think about that, but I don't understand why. Let's let the season play out, guys. Enjoy the games a little bit. Then we can start speculating on this kind of stuff.
Fred, you know what takes balls? Getting your balls checked. That takes balls. That's a ballsy move. A lot of dudes, they believe they can wait it out or they only want to go to the doctor when it gets really bad. Maybe they're afraid of bad news. Mansenders is overcoming all that. They get to the core of the problem. Mansenders created by men for men to cure and fix men. And you don't have to be broken to come see them. I mean, there's too many guys dying at 50, 55, 60 years old of stuff that could be prevented in your 30s and 40s. Don't try to tough it out. Don't try to suck it up. Let them get to your issues and get you back to the top of your game. Whatever your man-related issue is, whether you've got some genital pain, you've got urinary issues, prostate abnormality, maybe you're dealing with kidney stones, sexual dysfunction, low T, maybe you want to, any of that stuff, you need to go check out Mansenders. They also are amongst the leaders when it comes to no scalpel vasectomies. There's no scalpel, no needle. You spray it to numb it, and the procedure lasts about 10 minutes. I've done this. I didn't feel any pain. slight discomfort tops. The anxiety of the procedure way worse than the actual pain. I can tell you that. And Dr. Russell Williams has performed over 11,000 vasectomies, and he's one of the best in the nation when it comes to urologists. Go by Man Centers, 9190 Katy Freeway there in Houston, or give them a call, 832-358-8600. They're making it easy for you guys. Check them out. Be a hero. Go to zero. It's Man Centers, mancenters.com.
ESPN 97.5. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Gets position, fades, the short jumper pops out, loose, and Adams secures the rebound for OKC. Dishes to Westbrook. Westbrook down the lane, throws it in with one hand, and gets the crowd on their feet here in Oklahoma City.
Let's do this. Kickoff underway. San Diego State back to receive. Rashad Perry from the end zone. Across the 40. The kicker to beat midfield. 30, 20, gone. The Mountain West Special Teams Player of the Year. 100-plus yards for a touchdown. The opening kick. Hi, how you doing?
Wow. Here's the pitch. Swinging is a shot. Drilled in the left center. Toward the alley. Back it goes. And it's gone. A home run. A three-run bomb by Morales. And it opens it up in Kansas City.
It's on ESPN 96.
All right. We're back on the Blitz. I had a chance to interview UFC flyweight Henry Cejudo, who just fought for the flyweight title against Demetrius Johnson, unsuccessfully, mind you, but he is now coaching a season of The Ultimate Fighter. Had a chance to talk to him just before the show. Going to share that with you now.
Joining us now on the program, and I think this may be a first for us. I don't know that we've had an Olympic gold medalist on the program before, but we're having one now. Henry Cejudo joins us on the program. Henry, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How about you guys?
I can't complain. Man, I've really enjoyed what I've seen so far on this season of The Ultimate Fighter. It's nice to know that all the guys there are deserving to be there, and they didn't just, you know, put in a good video where it looks like they've got good personality. These are all legitimate fighters, and I think that makes the season a lot more exciting. Have you gotten a good vibe from this season so far?
I think the first episode is the first and second episode, and it speaks for itself. You got 16 of the best fighters in the world, world-class athletes from different parts of the world. They all come together in a 60-man tournament. What's there not to like about that?
Is it weird for you because from every Ultimate Fighter season, a couple of these guys get into the UFC. Is it weird that you may be coaching a future opponent?
No, not really. I think that's how people would take it at first, but not really. Man, you become friends. I mean, I hope I never fight him just because of the friend aspect, but not because I'm sure his technique. Those roads cross, it's going to happen. But I think for the most part, it really does become a challenge for us fighters to help somebody take out the Demetrius Johnson, the pound-for-pound fighter. So, more of a challenge than anything.
When this season got announced and they kind of told you the premise of it, Was it awkward for you to take it? Because obviously you want another fight with Demetrius. Joseph wants another fight with Demetrius. Is it weird to put? I mean, you're basically coaching someone who's going to step in front of your shot. Is that a little bit strange?
Not really. I have my shot. I was Demetrius' last fight. I can't be a brat either. He beat me fair and square. And I think it's just good for the fight with the division, bring the division more attention. You know, a lot of people complain that there's not enough knockouts, but I believe that the flyweight division is the most technical division in the UFC.
When you fought Demetrius, do you feel like you know what you did wrong? Do you feel like that's something, if you ever did get another shot, that you'd be able to change?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the biggest thing is finding, I switch camps, coaches. I did a lot of things since since the fight. I think I've just improved as a fighter. I've been fighting for about 3.5 years now. You know, time's on my side. I'm only getting better. I'm only getting stronger. That's how I feel.
A lot of people say that Demetrius Johnson is the pound for pound best fighter in the world. You've been in the cage with him. Do you tend to agree with that? Do you think he's one of the best in the world?
Yes, he is. I think anybody that's able to take out Henderson in the first round, you know, with body with just finesse is one bad piece. And not just for me, but he's proven that he could do anything to a lot of people. So.
What do you think of Joseph Benavidez? Not just as an opponent, but you guys seem to have. And it almost seems every time there's an Ultimate Fighter that the two coaches end up having some sort of bitterness towards each other. But you guys don't seem to like each other. Is that just what's coming through on TV, or do you legitimately not enjoy being around him?
I don't like being around him. I think he's a bully. That's the biggest thing with Joe. He's a bully. He likes to. And I don't like to pick fights about Bobby, but I guess you have to have your good versus evil or whatever. I'm not saying I'm not cheating either, but you know, that's the way it is. That's the route he takes. Is trying to get into my head, I guess.
Do you think that? Do you think that if you guys weren't fighting at the end of the season, do you think that it would be different, or do you think that's what's sort of turning him into what he is and sort of putting you where you're at?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I can't answer for him, but I'm gonna remain me. I'm gonna remain corny, like he says, sort of do this, like he says. But you know, that's who I am. One thing I can never, what I don't like about Joe is he questions my integrity, I think my character. I think that's the biggest thing. I'm not perfect by any means, man. But you don't gotta say I'm fake or whatnot. I think that's stupid.
Do you feel that it's easier to fight someone when you have like a disdain towards them? Does that help you in your preparation?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he's made this fight personal. You know, it does help. It does make you wake up early. Like, you know what? I gotta shut this dude up. I'm gonna wake up because another dude's probably doing something else. You know?
What can we expect from the rest of the season of this Ultimate Fighter? Is it going to continue to be as good as we've seen in the first 3 weeks, the fights?
Oh, man. This Joe's warming up. You guys stay tuned. You guys are going to see some really good fights, man.
Has it been difficult for you to hold the secrets in and keep that all to yourself?
It has, man. I'm horrible. I can't keep secrets, but for this one, I have. People are happy. Everybody's happy, and let the show continue. Let the ball keep going.
That's Henry Cejudo. He is the an Olympic world champion, an Olympic gold medalist, and a UFC flyweight. And he's coaching this season of The Ultimate Fighter. And the next episode coming up tonight. You can watch that on Fox Sports 1. And he'll fight Joseph Benavidez in the finale at the end of this season. Henry, appreciate you taking the time for us, man. Good luck to you in the fight. And hope to talk to you again soon.
All right, awesome. Thank you.
All right, thank you. That's Henry Cejudo.
All right, guys, got to tell you what's going on a week from Saturday. It's Saturday, September 24th. It's going on at the Kima Boardwalk. It's the Kima Boardwalk Craft Beer Festival. 24 breweries, including locals like Eighth Wonder, St. Arnold, Carbach, Galveston Island Brewing, Southern Star, and a bunch of national breweries, New Belgium, Rogue, Ballast Point, Bear Republic. Going to be a good turnout, and they're sampling over 72 different craft beers. You can get tickets now in advance, $44.95 if you buy them now. Buy online at KimaBeerFest.com. Military, you guys are only $39.95 on site. And tickets not only include all the beer samples, but there's going to be giveaways, delicious beer brats,
and live music. They've got a couple of American blues rock bands coming out. The Fabulous Thunderbirds are going to be playing at 3. The Slags will be playing at 5:30. It's going to be well worth your time to go out there, drink a bunch of good beer, eat a bunch of good food, hear some good music. It's going to be a good time out there in Kema. The Kema Boardwalk Craft Beer Festival. Again, you can get tickets at KemaBeerFest.com. That's Saturday, September 24th, KemaBeerFest.com.
This is the Blitz on.
Guys, I got to tell you about Houston Can Academies, a terrific school. They take in kids who have dropped out of other schools. They give them a second chance, and so many of them take advantage of that opportunity and go on and do great things. And these are good kids. These are kids who had to get jobs to support their families or had whatever go wrong, and Houston Can Academies helps them. And so many of them are out there now doing great things, that, and it would have never happened. Who knows what would have happened to these kids, but they never would have gone on to do what they're doing. And that's all thanks to Houston Can Academies. And school has started again, and this is why they need your help more than ever, because they need the funds to help those kids. And by your donations, that's where they come from. And your donation's simple. It's just a vehicle that you're not using anymore. It could be a truck, a car, a boat, a forklift, a tractor, a motorcycle. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Doesn't matter where you are. They will come tow it free of charge. They take care of all the paperwork for you, and your donation's tax deductible. And if you donate today, you're going to get a free $50 Visa gift card. Just their way of saying thank you. And I'm telling you, that tax deduction will be huge at the end of the year when you have to turn in your taxes. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or online at HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
I wouldn't hold my breath if I was you, because I forget, but I'll never forgive you. Don't you know, true friends stab you in the front.
Texas A&M Auburn College Football, 6 p.m. Saturday on ESPN 97.5. Presented locally by Doggett Heavy Machinery.
All right, we are back on the Blitz. And I wanted to bring in Glenn Davis. He's got a special show going tonight, because you've got some special guests in, right, Glenn?
Yeah, and by the way, I'm wishing you best of luck in your upcoming fight.
Thank you, sir.
You look like a lean, mean fighting machine.
I feel good.
So I hope you're going to get it done. I know you've been focused on it, so congratulations for all the work.
Man.
Now put the exclamation point
on it. I'm looking forward to drinking beer and eating pizza again.
Yeah.
Well,
there's motivation.
It's like a little over 48 hours away now.
Good.
From all that stuff.
How do you keep yourself, you know, you don't want to get too overhyped, right?
No.
So you got to keep yourself level.
Yeah. Right? I think anybody who says they don't get nervous is lying, because when you're about to get in a fight, you do get nervous, but it's not like a nervous, like, I haven't really thought that much about losing the fight.
It's healthy.
Yeah,
healthy nervousness is a good thing.
It's good to be a little nervous, because, I mean, you're getting locked in a cage with someone who wants to hurt you.
Yeah.
But every fight I've been a little bit nervous, but I've gotten a little bit less nervous each time.
Uh-huh.
And I feel really good, man. I'm excited. I
actually think that's a great feeling.
It's an emotion like you're about to, you know, you build up this thing for like 7-8 weeks. And when it's finally there, it feels good. So yeah. I especially until after weigh-ins, I'll try to sleep a lot. I'm going to try to spend a lot of downtime, so I'm not thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Just try to rest my body, rest my mind.
Good luck.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you and hearing about the fight.
Yeah, what do you guys got going
on? All right,
on
so what I got going on tonight, and this is, you know, I want all the keyboard warriors who have a lot to say about MLS and the Houston Dynamo, I want them tonight, you know, and you know, a lot of people are bold behind computers and social media, but tonight we've got Dynamo president Chris Canetti live in studio, along with Dynamo general manager Matt Jordan. Dynamo fans have a lot of opinion on the team. It's a team that's really had a very rough year. It's struggling. It's in last place in the West, and we're not going to pull any punches, but tonight's an opportunity for fans to talk directly to a president and a general manager, which I think is a unique thing. I give credit to Chris Canetti and Matt Jordan for coming in studio. They took a strong interview with me the last time they were here. Now it's the fans' turn tonight, so they need to call in tonight and ask the questions that they want answered.
That's a bold move for those guys to come in, because this is not a season where the questions will be softballs. There's probably a lot of fans who are upset with the way things have gone, who are frustrated. So this is not going to be some sort of fluff session, I'm guessing.
No,
this is
going
to be tough on them.
Listen, it's all in the callers now, because I had my say. I'll ask a few questions, but I had my interview with Chris and Matt, and again, I credit them because I think transparency is a good thing. I think the key decision makers do need to stand up in front of their teams. And, you know, if one day we want Major League Soccer and the Dynamo to be on par with all the other professional sports in this town, you know, you can't ask for that type of treatment and coverage unless, you know, we're doing it for real. And that means real questions. It's, you know, and I think that's going to happen tonight. And I think the Dynamo fans will ask, and MLS fans and soccer fans in general will ask very intelligent, very good questions tonight.
How much? How many more games are left in the season?
Yeah, they got a handful left. You know, and
I mean, they are literally in last place, is what I'm seeing here. They are the worst team, at least in the conference. They are tied to be the worst team in the whole league. I mean, this has been – is this the worst year the Dynamo have had in their existence?
You know, I'm going to be – what I will say is I've sort of seen this happening over the course of a couple of years, and I think sometimes you can be blinded by certain things. This is a town that not only needs a winner, but it also needs a style of soccer that entertains and is going to bring soccer fans to a stadium. And the Dynamo got to get relevant again, and that's not an easy thing. It's not going to be a quick fix, but there are ways to do it. I don't think there's any question. I certainly have my own ideas, but I'm not the decision maker, but it can be fixed.
What kind of time would it take if they do things the right way? How long would it take for them to get back to being
competitive? I think it's going to take cultural and ideology change to a large degree. It's going to take some bold decision making. I think it's going to be a couple of years. You know, this... You know, we need two or three more players, and that's going to solve all our problems. It's not. The Dynamo got to figure out what they're doing with their youth policy and really get serious about that end of it. The Dynamo have to figure out what sort of team that they want to be. You know, and it's not just the slogan, you know, we're hard to beat. It's got to be more than that. You know,
yeah.
Those are slogans. Those aren't – we need to see defined what the purpose of play is going to be in the future because, as you know, you got soccer people from all over the world. They're very educated here, and we do have to respect that. And the journalists are pretty educated here as well.
It's similar, in my opinion, to where the Astros have been for a couple of years, and now they've started to kind of get it back. But it's hard to imagine a franchise and like the Houston Dynamo, who are literally the worst team in the league, spending money to get big time players in because it seems now like they're so far away, and adding a big money player to this is probably not going to be enough. Do you think that like the young guys on this team eventually will get to a point where it warrants bringing in a couple of big time players?
Well, they're going to have to bring in difference makers. I don't think there's any question, and they're going to need to do it in a couple of areas. We still have to figure out how this team is going to attack during the run of play in the future. They do have a bright young Colombian playing up front, Nemora Manotas, who scored his first Major League Soccer goal. But he's young, he's hungry, he's somebody that I think is a big piece of the future. They've got a couple of trialists in that they're looking at. So there are some pieces that obviously will remain. It's not easy to turn an entire team over. But there are some salary cap things because it's a very different league than the other traditional sports leagues in America when it comes to salary cap and money spent and all that.
You know, we talked last time, I think you were in here, last time I did some crosstalk with you, we were talking about Kubo Torres. And I read like a week ago, what does it mean on loan? What's happened to this guy?
So they cut a deal with a team in Mexico and he plays there for 6 months. And, you know, the Dynamo gets some compensation for it, or they, you know, and then they pick up his salary. There's a lot of ways it can work. And then at the end of that loan, which is probably December, Cruz Azul has an option, I believe, to buy him, which is a Mexican team. And if they like what happens or they feel he's a part of their future, they then make the Dynamo an offer, try to buy him. If not, he comes back and he's a Dynamo player.
I mean, doesn't that seem odd for a team like the Dynamo, who, like you said, they're kind of looking to build something new here? That seems like a guy to build around. Doesn't it seem odd to move him away?
I'm not sure the Dynamo want to build around Kubo Torres. It was kind of a shame because he was a young, talented Mexican. We know he can score goals. He's played for the Olympic team in the Olympics. He's played for the full national team. He's scored goals in
on paper, he seems more accomplished than damn near everybody in that stadium.
Yeah, but he came in and with some off-field problems the first year. And then for me, yes, he was away a lot with the Mexican Olympic and national teams, but he never really got, in my opinion, a run of games where he could have established some confidence and been that guy, because he could have been that lightning rod that could reach out into the Latino community and really sort of bridge that gap and bring more of those people to the game.
Well, I think this is a cool thing for you to be able to have a couple of the big wigs sitting in tonight. So
that's awesome.
I think everybody will enjoy that show. And
and I'm grateful that they're coming in. That's standing up to it. That's leadership. I'm glad they're coming in.
No doubt. So what time are they going to be in?
They will be on, I believe, a little after 7:30, about probably 7:45 we'll have them on.
All right. We'll have a good show, Glenn.
Yeah, they're going to be here for an hour. Best of luck in the fight,
AJ.
Thank you,
sir. Appreciate it, man.
Buddy, awesome. You were really nice to me today. No really off-color jokes.
None.
Not messing with my niece.
No,
none of that
stuff. She's not pregnant yet, is she?
You know, your fan base is going to be...
Is she pregnant yet?
No, the plan is to have kids.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
good.
I believe that's...
I hope she...
probably in the works.
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
Not
please.
A lot of...
You've been good now. Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it.
Just saying. Not a lot of girls have felt
jittery
without a
condom. Jong is getting all jazzed. Look at John. He's getting jazzed in there. Jong, easy. Jong loves seeing me embarrassed.
That's a lot of women have felt jittery without a condom.
See, I thought you were going to be nice.
Not many have. Your niece is amongst the few, because I know he's a careful man.
You will not hear from me anymore. I'm out.
Okay. That's Glenn Davis. Check out his show coming up right after this one, Soccer Matters. And I got to tell you guys before I head out about Gary Trichter Law Enforcement. They're stepping up their efforts with no refusal weekends. They can force you to take a blood test. So if your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest, guys, there's still hope. Even if you failed the breath or blood test, a lot of things about those tests you should know about. Breath tests, they're inaccurate. They're unreliable. Police breath test machines aren't even warranted fit for breath testing. They make temperature assumptions that create artificially high results and then destroy the evidence that it checked, making rechecking and improving your innocence impossible. Same with the blood test. A lot of inaccuracies about police blood testing. It's not the same as CSI on television. They're not even testing your actual blood. They're testing the air above it. It can't positively identify alcohol from other substances. There's just a lot of flaws in these tests, and that's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist right here in Houston. He's experienced in telling the truth about these tests, and he's experienced in doing it in a trial situation. He's one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the whole state. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, boating while intoxicated, whatever it is, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone, 713-524-1010, or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.